Welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Appreciate everybody tuning in and joining us here. We are continuing our broach of the nine contentious topics. We're on part five, so we're about halfway through. If you missed our first four, they're up on our website, armorofgodradio.com. And we're tackling these really kind of in no particular order, other than we kind of sort of grouped ones that sort of fit together. And so today we're going to talk about homosexuality and our brothers and sisters who suffer or have a same-sex attraction. We have already covered cohabitation. I'm sorry, excuse me. We've already covered contraception, part one, abortion, part two, cohabitation in part three, and divorce and remarry, part four. So, again, those are up on our website at armorofgodradio.com. Thank you very much, Father, for joining us today.
My pleasure, Tom. Thank you for having me. I enjoy tackling these issues. It's all good news. It's all good news.
Well, so I think we should just start with what does the church teach us
Yeah.
about the nature of homosexuality.
In the catechism, it only has four paragraphs, and it immediately refers to homosexuality as people, with men or women who experience an exclusive or a partial predominant sexual attraction towards the same sex. So that's right there. People experience same-sex attraction. I would say right up front, we don't label people. We are not, I'm you and I are not part of the heterosexual community. We don't label ourselves by our inclinations or even, yeah, our inclinations. These are not orientations. I think we have to use better and more refined words. There are between 2 and 3% of all men experience predominantly same-sex attraction. I know it's probably going to blow some of your listeners away, but it's only 2 and 3%. It seems like more because they're highlighted in the media, and especially though they have substantial communities in cities, that culture seems to coalesce in cities. So it seems like a lot. That's why, you'll have a gay pride parade in Austin, but maybe not in, Wimberley or Euland. But we don't define people. And the church admits that we're not sure where these inclinations come from. That she doesn't go near that. But, big but, I think the science is out there that those who experience same-sex attraction, that we're supposed to love them. We're supposed to minister to them. We're supposed to welcome them, just like anybody with any kind of disordered inclinations. But we don't affirm same-sex activity because it is disordered. So let's just get that out right now. We're supposed to accompany everyone. We haven't even talked about pornography. I think pornography is just poison, but half of our people, half of our young men may be addicted to it. Absolutely addicted, and no one wants to talk about that one. But many of the young men, especially who experience same-sex attraction, are heavily into pornography. If you don't mind, Tom, I'd like to maybe give a little background how I got into
Sure.
this.
Yeah, absolutely. Please.
Maybe introduce people to the Courage Ministry here in the Diocese of Austin. Father Joe Daheim, he coordinates that out of Austin. But the church does have an official ministry to those who experience same-sex attraction. It runs much like AA, a support group of people who come together, who hold each other accountable to live chaste lives by prayer, accountability, chaste friends, and staying close to the church, but also embracing what Mother Church has to teach about sexuality. So there's the five pillars, and that's for and being a good example. So back a long time ago, when I was still in seminary, I was about to be ordained a deacon. We had to do I forget what the formal name is, but we had to do dissertations on ministry stemming from an experience of ministry. Now, me and my brothers, we all played sports. All our friends played sports. We had a father in the home, and a mother in a home, and we had a healthy home life and healthy friends. And so we knew people that a little, especially men, not so much women. Oh, I was going to say 2 and 3% of all men experience a primary same sex attraction. For women, it's like between 1 and 2 women
Wow.
are exclusively lesbian. And that, again, you wouldn't think so.
Yeah, you listen to the media and you would think the numbers were
huge.
50,
Now,
60 times that amount.
That's why the LG, you know, when they have to include people who are T and Q and bi, because especially amongst our teenage girls, they're always confused about their gender, gender identity. So when you lump all of them in, it's much higher. So my point of departure was when I first started discerning priesthood back in 96, that would be 97, seriously discerned 97. I entered the seminary in 99. One of the, for many young men, we look to religious life as the kind of the first, oh, let's try this. Let's see what this is like. We'll look at the Benedictines, the Dominicans, the Franciscans, and the Jesuits, and some other. And we had Claretians in my parish. So long story short, I went to a Jesuit ordination, and it had a bunch of seminarians there and a bunch of guys who were considering. And I made a couple of friends. One good friend, his name was Gary, seemed like a normal guy. We became friends. We lived close to each other, and we did some discernment things together. Well, before I could figure it out, and before I knew it, he kind of, I guess what you'd say in quotation, he came out to me. He said, "Well, I'm gay."
Oh, wow.
So, and the reason he did, because he got in a little trouble, because he was doing things at his job that he wasn't supposed to, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But by the time he told me he was gay, we had already known each other for months, and we had become friends, and we had open conversations about the church and celibacy and priestly life and maybe becoming a Jesuit and that sort of thing. So I started asking him questions, said, "What is this? How did this happen? And what's this lifestyle?" So he was very transparent about his life. And he was a convert. He became Catholic. He wasn't before. And he was a nurse. So he told me what he goes, "I was in the lifestyle." So what does that mean? You were in the lifestyle? Well, especially gay men, since they're so rare, they congeal in cities. And he was in San Antonio. And he told me about this, how he found there's certain health clubs that cater to gay men, and they would go there, these saunas, these bathhouses. He even named it was called Club Body. He said it was in several. I said, "Well, was that a health club?" He goes, "No, not really. You just go there and meet and hook up, you know, with other men." I said, "What?" And one time he told me, "Yeah, I'd go there and spend hours." What?
Yeah.
And like I said, he was speaking very frankly. That was his community. And then he dived into that lifestyle, became depressed, sought help, and came out of it through the church. So we stayed in touch for a few years, and then he moved away and got on with his life, and I think I've lost touch with him. But he was always in the back of my mind. So that was my point of departure when I made my – so I started to look, and what does the church teach about ministering to people with same-sex attraction? And to my surprise, there's a whole – ministry called Courage, CourageRC.com and CourageRC.org, started back in the 80s. The Cardinal in New York started it, asked a couple of priests there. And all they did is kind of modeled it after, not so much AA, but just using what the church had to offer. Many of these men never had fathers in their lives. Never had other men in their lives, and to bring them together and invite them to freedom and chastity, to encourage them to try chastity, and to also, and when I would my first meeting I went to with Father Becker, he invited me to one in Austin. I was shocked at what I saw. I thought I would be in a whole room of very feminine men. No, these were regular guys, a lot of them, a couple of ladies, and all of them talked about childhood trauma.
Wow.
All of them. How way back then, usually it's a father wound. They had been traumatized, especially the men, and how through a series of, you know, trying to heal that wound, they would partake in homosexual activity. So, and really, I went to my first Courage convention in Chicago, and it was fantastic. And you would think, well, oh my gosh, this is only for people who are struggling with same sex. Anybody could have gone, because it was all about brotherhood, calling people to chastity, celebrating the church teaching on the body, the theology of the body, having chaste friendships, practicing and initiating in the sacraments and a prayer life. I go, this is nothing new. This is the church's response to anything, Christianity. So let me say that out there to everyone. What is the ministry to people with same-sex attraction? It's the same to anyone. It's Christ Himself. Now, the Protestant version of Courage used to be called Exodus, Exodus International. They've had some troubles lately, so I think they may have been defunct.
I was gonna say I thought they had been, shall we say, disbanded.
Yeah, many
But
of the ministries, believe it or not, many of this was a Jewish one too. They get sued out of existence.
oh, I'm sure.
So Courage is very clear that we don't say that everybody has to change, you know, what they call conversion therapy. But conversion to Christ does mean being chaste and celebrating chastity. Although I would say, see, one of my things was there was the Courage was one of the things I looked to, and what was called NARTH. You ever heard of NARTH? NASA
No.
Association of Research and Therapy of Homosexuality. Those are the guys that came out with conversion therapy, or, you know, and they were always under attack because they were seeing many men who didn't want this, say they had unwanted same-sex attraction, and they were starting to minister to them. And if you say that that's possible, you're going to get yourself into trouble. But I know a doctor, a man from South America. He was a PhD, an MD, everything. And him and I met, and he goes, no, if we can cure homosexuality, believe it or not. He goes, with diet, counseling, prayer, some medication, men will start to, with conversion, that father wound can start to heal, and they'll start to embrace their masculinity. Because here it is, real simply. What I we always tell the kids, homosexuality is mostly experienced by men. And you can say just some broad strokes about what happens when a boy, because we're all, no one is born gay. There's no even science
No,
about that. We're all born
there's no
men and
gay
women. So
gene.
let me tell you, let me go ahead and tell your listeners that not anybody says, well, they're born that way. That is absolutely scientifically been blown out of the water. And they know it. They all know it. It just happens to people. So what is it? It's fairly simple, especially a boy. If a young boy has a distant father, or an alcoholic father, or maybe he has a father who's a soldier who's gone for a long time, maybe their father's all three. I knew a young man that he goes, well, that's my dad. My dad's an alcoholic soldier who's always gone. Wow. Okay, that doesn't mean they're going to become gay. It doesn't mean so. If they have a distant father and overbearing mother, a mother who treats a son like a pet, you know, and confides in him. And let's say he's got a distant father, overbearing mother. What if he's sensitive, non-athletic, artistic? All of a sudden, he will start to embrace, he will embrace kind of his mother's attitude. And a lot of these guys, they long for attention, male attention. Because if they're not athletic, they're not around other boys. They don't like rough and tumble play. They're sensitive. They're not going to be around other boys. If you go to, like, even our youth group, there was a couple of guys who were, this is some time ago, that I got to know them. They had same sex. They were gay. And they would sit at the dinner tables, and everybody else was a girl because they were comfortable around girls. They're not comfortable around the boys. They're intimidated by the boys, although some part of them is very attracted to them. Because they long for healthy male touch. Well, what happens when they get to be 11, 12, 13 years old? They see a masculine boy. It's not so much they're sexually attracted to them, they always want to be them, they want to touch them. And they twist that and they eroticize it. They eroticize, I must be gay. And if they're already effeminate, overbearing mother, distant father, alcoholic father, non-athletic, sensitive, and artistic. What happens is they start to hang around feminine people, feminine women, and this is the part we get after the girls at a lot, because whenever they all like their gay friend,
Oh, yeah.
and they reinforce and double down. We tell the girls, if you have a friend who's gay, treat him like a man, treat him like a boy. No, they go, oh, we just love our, Biff and Dion. And they reinforce their same-sex attraction. So that's why priesthood, being a father, and then other males, one of the things that Courage does is that they do a sports weekend. A lot of times the we'll have a weekend, usually it's in the Northwest, sometimes in Houston, I think. Sometimes we bring the guys in Courage who never had a rough and tumble. Oh, sure, they may have been in swimming or cross country or, dance or something. But did you ever play soccer or football or rugby? Oh, no. So we teach them how to play those games. And sometimes they never had that experience of just being rough and tumble boys. And it helps in their healing. And they start to make friends with athletic boys, men, and have know what that means to like to rough and tumble. We talk differently. They never had that. And that's why they, a lot of times, if you go to any college, go in the theater department, it'll be crawling with men who have same-sex attraction. Why? Because they're artistic and they want attention. They love to be on stage. Why? Not because they're arrogant. No, because they never got any attention at home. Their dads were distant, so they love to be the center of attention. They dance class and ballet, and it's almost like all these. Well, I love the arts too. I love to go to the theater, but all these reinforce those big, huge, and then they start hooking up, and it's so easy now.
I was going to say,
I remember.
society has made has and again, social media and the
Oh
national
yeah.
media had just made it so that it just seems like every, I mean, if you believe what you hear on the news, that every other kid in America
Yeah.
is suffering from,
25%. Yeah. And not only are they now, it's almost the opposite. They used to be hide their condition because they were ashamed. They thought they're going to hell. As Christians, we sometimes condemn them and it drove them deeper into the underworld. Now it's celebrated. They get their own flag. They have their own communities. They have their own language, their own conventions. And they're part of a celebrated community. Let's have Black history, Hispanic women, and LGBTQA LMNOP. All of a sudden, you get this alphabet community. And that's really the irony, Tom. I think, again, this is the sort of issue that in the 90s, the 2000s, it was gaining ground. But then when the T was added to that community, and we'll get to that maybe later.
Yeah, we'll save that for
T was
another
added.
week.
Now it's starting to say, that's not us. That's not us. And really, the L and the G, lesbians and gays, gay men, they're not a community. They don't like it. They don't hang out. It's just this cross-referencing to try to build up their numbers. But it's the difference between ministering to someone, accompanying someone, and celebrating their inclinations. I always tell people, we have alcoholics in my parish. And what do you do with alcoholics in your parish? Well, you accompany them. You recognize that what they're doing is they're not born that way. And maybe they are because if their mother was an alcoholic. But that's a disorder. And they're self-medicating. So we accompany them. But what we don't do is we don't give them a bottle of Jack Daniels and say, here you go. This is who you are. But now we have people who have same-sex attraction. We label them. Hey, this is who you are. That's why God made you. What a lie. What a lie. No, God made you a man. When a man says to me, well, I'm gay, father. No, you're a man. You're a man. There's two kinds of people, men and women. And your body tells me you are made for a woman. Do you realize that? Your body is made for a woman. So when we minister to people with same-sex attraction, we don't give them a marriage license, just like we don't give alcoholics a bottle of Jack Daniels. You accompany them. And that's what I think I call on priests to, The way the Courage Ministry is set up, we have an opportunity to father boys. I remember I took a couple of me and another priest took a bunch of them outside to a football field, and we asked, "Do you guys know how to throw a football?" "No." "Your daddy never taught you how to throw a football?" "No." Wow. And just teaching them how to throw a football, and then being rough with them, throwing it at them hard. Catch it with your hands. Catch it with, and it's about winning, not performing. Not performing. And all parts of their brain was all of a sudden kicked in. The testosterone part of their brain they didn't even know they had was there. They never, all their friends were what? In the theater department. All their friends were girls. All their friends were, part of this movement. And then, so we can do, the church is the answer. We have the remedy. We don't tell them, "Oh no, repress your sexuality." No, heal it. Know what it's directed for. Watch out for a lot of men who are in the lifestyle, they're alcoholics. They're involved in pornography, and it just reinforces it. Believe it or not, a lot of that pornography stuff comes from video games, but we'll get into that later.
I think it's interesting though that despite what the criticism that the church is that it gets levied against the church, are the church teaches the same thing to our young people, young couples, our children, that whether they're quote unquote homosexual or quote unquote homosexual, it's all about chastity.
Heterosexual, yeah.
And so your inclination ought to be, as the church describes or the church defines for us, our inclination ought to be an ordered relationship with a husband or a wife in a marital act, in a marital pact,
It's
in a marital
ordered
relationship
towards children, yeah.
that's ordered towards children, right?
And those are
Everything else is,
orientation, yeah.
yeah.
But all of us, we have to admit, all of us have sinful inclinations. I have a
That's exactly
sinful
right.
inclination towards Shipley's Donuts. I mean, I see it there, and everything in me wants to go in there and indulge. And bright lights, they even have, if you go there at a certain time of the day, they'll give you donuts for free. What a set! That's a drug dealer right there. It's narcotics. But I think we have to do, I know we're running out of time here. We have to
Yeah,
run in,
we got several minutes, so we're good.
we have to have two fronts when it comes to getting the message out, not just the message to people would say, because like my friend Gary, he knew the church was right on this. He knew, but he was caught in the middle between not just his old community who considered him a traitor, but even other Christians and even other Catholics. You're born this way, this is who you are. Who's the church say who you can love? All that language has been held hostage and hijacked. Because when I give a talk to, let's say, teenagers, most of them are heterosexual, almost all of them are heterosexual. When I give a talk to them, you'd be surprised how many girls will stand up and object. They'll object to the church's teaching, and they're heterosexual. Why? Because they're empathetic. And this is the sin of empathy. Do not, and a lot of them have what I would call Stockholm syndrome. They're in a classroom with some weird teacher. They have flags. They're celebrating diversity. This is my friend Biff, and this is who he is. And y'all bully him, and they empathize with them, and it's a sinful empathize. You walk with them, but we don't say that their inclinations are healthy, normal, good. They're not. And to admit, we're not doing anybody any favors. We have to teach our own people, with our own people, because just as many Catholics as non-Catholics are in favor of gay marriage. I mean, that doesn't say much about us at all. Just as many Catholics as non-Catholics are okay with contraception. We have to remind ourselves that we have to convert our own people to educate, inspire. And this is part of the good news, that the body tells a story, speaks a language. And when two men are being intimate, they're lying to each other. They're using each other. So if I can tell a quick story about one of the men I
We
was,
got about a minute and a half, so it's got to be
one of
really
the men I
quick.
was working with, he told me something once. He was struggling with, and he was an older man, they were finding hookups online, and he met a younger man to hook up with. Okay. Anyway, before anything happened, the younger man asked him, "Can I call you dad?" I said, "What?" And this is the older man telling me this. I said, "You see what's going on there?
Yeah.
He's looking for a father, and you're going to use him." He's like, "I know. I know it's terrible." He realized he was like 60, and this other man was like 25. I said, "That's not romance. That's two people who are trying to heal a wound that they're a victim of." The moment he said that, "Can I call you dad?" he's crying out
Yeah.
for help and healing. Well, then be a dad to him. Be a dad to him. That's what he's asking for. Anyway, we'll end with that.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't gotten the female same-sex attraction, much more complicated.
And maybe what we need to do is just come back next week and have a part two of part five. We can kind of finish because there's a lot
Oh,
more
yeah.
to be, I think, that needs to be said about courage and encourage.
Oh, yeah. Anchorage. I haven't mentioned them. Yeah.
And what those programs provide and maybe give us and maybe give our listeners an opportunity to kind of to seek out some of those resources. So we'll come back next week and we'll hit the other half of this topic. How's that sound, Father?
Sounds good.
All right. Would you leave
All
us
right,
with a
God bless.
blessing, please?
All right. And may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And
Amen.
folks,
Oh.
if you missed any or part of this episode, or you want to pick up any of the other ones, it's always available on our website, armorofgodradio.com, armorofgodradio.com. Just click on that schedule tab, and we'll be back next week, and we'll continue our conversation on homosexuality. God bless everybody, and remember to put on the armor of God.